What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Rink Rat Report podcast. I'm your host, Jason Cooper, here solo today. And I was kind of going to do a video today regardless. I'm going to talk about the NHL draft and some of the picks that the Leafs have made and go a little bit in detail about that. But then all of a sudden, out of the blue, right as the Leafs were about to make their last selection in the draft, pick number 222, I believe it was, an absolute bombshell came out of nowhere and they traded for Chris Tanev, which was absolutely crazy, completely unheard of. No one kind of saw that coming, a trade for Chris Tanev. There was rumors earlier in the day that the Leafs might be looking to sign him. But, I mean, they made a trade. They acquired his rights. So we're going to talk a bit about that today. Still going to talk a little bit about draft picks today. Tomorrow, stay tuned. If you like this kind of content, subscribe because I'm going to be talking some forwards and some defensemen who the Leafs should maybe target. Hopefully, we can get some more info on the Chris Tanev deal so that we can kind of help structure out the next part of this team and kind of maybe predict some free agent signing. So yeah, today we're looking at draft picks, the Tanev deal, and then that's pretty much it. So let's start right away with the Tanev deal. I mean, if you missed out on it, I'm shocked, but if this is your first time seeing it, here's the trade itself. Chris Tanev obviously traded to Toronto for the rights of expiring contract Max Ellis, who, I mean, don't think he had a future here in Toronto. 24 years old, not really much to say about him. Was kind of looking to be a career AHL player. Maybe Dallas sees something in him that we missed. Not sure. He's a centerman. Expiring NHL contract. And then also a seventh round pick in 2026. So obviously, they didn't give up a lot for him. And a lot of rumors and murmurs were swirling because the Leafs apparently are going to be looking to give Chris Tanev a 7 to 8 year deal, which is pretty interesting and a lot to unpack there. And I'll get into that shortly. But a lot of people are mistaken because when they talk about long-term, and Steve Dangle surprisingly pointed this out, it's actually not possible for the Leafs to give Tanev an 8 year deal because he would have to be signed by Dallas to get that 8 year deal. So the most they can give him right now is 7. And that's what it seems like it's going to be, maybe between the year of five to 7 years. We're not sure what the AAV is. And that makes this a little tricky to kind of dissect this trade because this trade needs to talk about in tandem with the signing. So quickly, a little bit about Chris Tanev. If you don't know, we've covered him a lot here on the show. Go check us out on Twitter if you want to see like a little bit more detail about his game. We talked about him in free agency, trade deadline last year. We really like his game. So just off the hop, one thing that stuck out to me is that, first of all, Chris Tanev, he's a top 10 defenseman, right? He's a top 10 defensive defenseman, especially over the last 5 years. Kevin Papetti astutely pointed out that of 214 defensemen who have played 2,000-plus 5-on-5 minutes over the past 5 years, Chris Tanev is number one in relative expected goals against per 60. So he just performs a lot better than his teammates around him at suppressing shots, suppressing goals against, suppressing expected goals against. So that's something that I don't think the Leafs have ever really had. Like, this is a legit defensive defender. So I'm really stoked when we sign him, to have him on the team. The biggest knock on him seems to be his injury history. But if you take a look at the past 4 years, he's kind of been sneakily very healthy. Last year, he played 75 games and 19 games in the playoffs. Previous year, 65 games, missed a couple there with an injury. But then the 2 years before that, in 21-22 and 2021, he played 82 games and 56 games. 56 games, obviously, for the COVID year. Played two full seasons back-to-back. So it was kind of a knock on him coming out of Vancouver that he was a little bit injury-prone. But over the last 5 years, he's only missed like 30-ish games. Or 30-ish games. And that's pretty good. And it seems like the type of injuries he has aren't like soft tissue injuries. They're more so bone injuries or bruises and things like that. And that stuff is like not really, that stuff is not consistent, right? Those things are more freak accidents than anything else here. So, yep. Chris Tanev seems to be a Leaf. It's going to be interesting to see the number that comes in, especially if it's at a 6 to 7 year deal. Obviously the downside, again, 34 years old. How's he going to age? Personally, I don't think he'll age as poorly as we've seen some other defensemen age. He's not like really a points guy. The style of play, I think, lends itself a little bit better to a better aging curve, I want to say. We don't know, though. We don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that happens. But I like the deal. If you ended up signing him, I like the deal. I'm more so like, figure out the AAV later. Figure out that stuff later. We'll talk a little bit more about that and if it was a positive expected value move for the Leafs, if we're talking just plain expected value wise. But as a fan, I love this. I don't think the Leafs have had this good of a defensive defenseman in a long time. Can't remember the last time we had a guy like him on this team. And if they do lock him up, I mean, I'm happy about it. They have a proper shutdown D-man. We haven't seen that. And if curious to see where they deploy him, they could put him with McCabe and kind of have McCabe-Tanev as your shutdown pair, get them the dirty minutes and give them kind of gross minutes against the other team's best pairs, or you finally have a legitimate partner to pair with Morgan Rielly. So it'll be interesting to see if he signs. We still don't, I got to preface this. We still don't know if he's going to sign here, guys, which is a little crazy, but you got to assume they don't make this deal if they don't think that they can sign him. So I would expect a deal coming out tonight. Most likely when this gets posted, a deal will be announced because that's how it always works around here. What the number is going to be, I don't know. I would hope it's to be like 6 to 7 years at $3 million. If that's the case, I'll be happy. He's probably going to get closer to 4 or 5. Yeah, that's a little bit pricey. But again, I like the player himself. So whatever number he comes in at, we're going to have to deal with that. We can work around the edges to kind of improve that. So and make that situation a little bit better for us here. So whatever the number is, I'm happy. I just want this guy on our team because he's good. And I mean, you get this guy on your team and you pick up another defenseman in free agency. And this is probably one of the best decors this team has ever had, period, in the last 20 years that I can ever remember. So, definitely in the last 7 years with this offensive core, this is going to probably shape up to be with who the Leafs seem to be interested in free agency, the best decor this team has ever had with Marner, with Matthews, with Nylander, with Tavares. So it's going to be cool to see. I'm excited for that because building out the back end, that's always important. So, yeah, happy overall thoughts. One more time to recap. Happy with the trade because, again, you get – I guess I didn't mention this. You get to jump on the market and people are wondering why we do this. You could just sign him on Monday. I would have to think like that maybe taxes were probably a big play and this kind of takes away the thought of another team jumping ahead of you and giving him kind of a godfather deal where he's making a ton of money somewhere else. So this kind of gives you the jump on the market, secures a hometown guy. I love it. I love him as a player. I'm excited. I'm curious to see what the AAV is going to be. And yeah, why don't you comment below what you think the best fit is for Tanev, where you think he should play on the Leafs if the Leafs sign him. I keep saying if because, I mean, he's not locked up for sure yet. So, yeah, I'm excited about the deal. So, anyways, that's about it. Let's move over to the draft and quickly recap the draft here. We have two major trades for the Leafs other than, obviously, the Tanev trade. First of all, we had pick number 23. If you watched the scouting episode that we did a week or so ago, we talked about Stolberg, and he was available. He actually got picked at pick number 23. He went to Anaheim, though, because the Leafs ended up trading that pick for pick number 31 and 58. They traded back 8 spots in the first round to recoup and get a second round pick. I love that move from the Leafs because they then went on to trade that 58th over that late second round pick for Florida's 2025 second round pick, and then they also got a 7th round pick in that deal as well. I mean, you could have gone a prospect, but I'd much rather have that second round pick. I like them trading back, getting that second round pick because, again, next year the Leafs situation is kind of barren. The cupboards are very bare there because they have 0 picks in the first 4 rounds. This gets you at least 1 pick, so that's either ammo or ability to restock the cupboards with a higher grade talent instead of using like those late 5, 6, 7 round dart throws. So I'm a fan of those trades. Thought it was good. Thought it was necessary. I don't think you can be too mad about any of that. Quickly taking a look at, I mean, who the Leafs picked. Got to talk a little bit about that. Listen, I'm not going to go too in-depth with these guys because, again, like a lot of these guys are late-round picks. We only had one first-round pick that we traded back into being the 31st overall pick. And then we also, I mean, we had a couple fifths, a sixth, a seventh. But yeah, just looking at the newest Leafs here. Let me bring this on screen. Sorry. Leafs take with their first round pick, Ben Danford, who is 6'2", 191 pounds. We'll talk a little bit about him. They ended up picking up a couple more players in Victor Johansson, Miroslav Hlinka, and Alexander Plesovsky. I'm struggling to pronounce these names. They also ended up picking up Timofey Obvinstez in the 5th round. Then they went on to pick three more players in the seventh round. All right. Sorry about that. I just had the biggest frog in my throat. Almost died. Had to pause the recording. We're back now. Quickly recapping the Maple Leafs 2024 draft class. Again, Ben Danforth picked in the first round. Victor Johansson in the fourth round. Miroslav Halenka, Alexander Plesovichki. Don't know how to pronounce that. And Timothy Obvinstev in the fifth round. Quickly on Victor Johansson. Wes Clark mentioned that he was a guy who's very early on in his development. So the Leafs obviously like him and think that maybe he's a little bit undervalued here. Halenka and Ples, he's a defenseman, by the way. Halenka and Ples, Alexander P. I don't know. I'm struggling to pronounce these names and the teams that they're from. But anyways, those two are forwards drafted in the fifth round. A lot of people are high on this Ples. People I've seen are high on this Plesovski guy. So again, I don't know too much about these guys. Not going to speak out of my butt here for you guys. Not waste your time. Last couple of picks, Matthew Leahy, big defenseman, likes to hit. A lot of fun. Sam McHugh, another big winger there. And then Nathan Mays, another big defenseman. Just quickly recapping this draft and just looking at it, you couldn't have had a more polar opposite approach than in previous years. Obviously, they value size here. And people like to not like that, which is weird. You can like size, that's fine. You can not like size, that's fine. But like, have a little bit more about the discourse about a certain player than just his size, right? Like, that's why so many people don't like the modern hockey, or sorry, the old school style of hockey where you just draft a guy based on size. This isn't what the Leafs are doing. They obviously value size, but they also value tons of other things. So if you're picking between two guys, one guy's 5'8", one guy's 6'2", and you have them ranked equally, they're going to go with the taller guy, and that seems to be the choice here. So I trust the process of this team and the draft process of this team. It's now in their hands to develop these players into becoming some NHL players. And speaking of developing, this is where I want to get into. I want to talk about the 31st overall pick, Ben Danforth. I'm excited to talk about him because, I mean, this is an interesting one. A little bit off the board here, a little bit of shades of, and I'm going to pull up some highlight clips here from Ben Danforth. A little bit of shades, if you're watching on YouTube, enjoy. But a little bit shades of Easton Cowan in the sense of how he was ranked, I believe, 77th overall. Bob McKenzie had him in like the 50s. This guy had like a third round grade, second round grade. And the Leafs ended up picking him in the first round. They're not afraid to go against consensus rankings. They did the same thing with Easton Cowan last year, right? So I'm excited to see this guy's development process. One of the biggest things for me that I heard from people who I've talked to is that one person mentioned that they really like him as a prospect. The biggest thing that they liked about him is that he has the like plenty of translatable skills to the NHL level, which is not always the case for a defenseman taken this late in the first round. And we can take a look at some of his translatable skills here, courtesy of Mitchell Brown, who does a little bit of tracking in the OHL. Obviously, Mitchell Brown really likes him as a player. A lot of his metrics that he tracks seems to be Ben is very good as a transition player. He's an underrated points guy. 30 points in, I believe it was 54 games. But the big thing for him is that he came on late in the season. So positive in expected assists, positive in slot passes success. Very good at controlled entries, but his big thing is that he's good at denying the rush, good at creating space in the middle of the ice. So a little word from Mitchell Brown here is that Leafs take Ben Danforth. He's a smooth defender with rush stopping skills, high end retrievals, and a sneaky good physical game. Much better with the puck than the points suggest. He's plenty of playmaking skills and flashes some ability to manipulate defenders. So seems to have some sneaky offensive upside, but this seems like a guy who maybe comes in 2-3 years down the road, going to play on your third pair, and hopefully he can be a 10-plus year NHL defenseman. And the reason why I say that is because it's the director of scouting for McKean's Hockey here, Brock Auden, seems to be very high on him. Tweet from him, Matt Reeds, I've been driving the Ben Danforth hype train up for a while now. Leafs fans, you're getting an absolute warrior on the back end. 10-plus year NHL defender, mobile, hardworking, offense took a positive step in the second half. Again, kind of similar to what completely different players, forward defensemen, so many different things that separate him from Cowan, but again, maybe the Leafs are looking at this and saying, hey, there might be a little edge here in finding guys who've had a bad first half of the season or struggled in the first half or first part of their OHL career and then ended up picking up things as the season goes on. Took a big step second half of the season offensively for him. The Leafs are never afraid to go against consensus, which is always good to see. They very much value their internal scouting, which is important. So, yeah, a little bit about Ben Danford. Again, I don't know much about him. I'm not going to pretend to know much about him. But, again, seems to be a guy who's going to be able to translate to the NHL pretty easily. It's going to be on the Leafs now to develop him. And maybe we'll learn a little bit more about him as we approach rookie camp for this year. One thing I want to plug, though, from Brock Auden, he has an article on McKean's Hockey. So I recently retweeted it. So if you go and check out my Twitter, @takesbyjay, you can find it there. He just has a pretty good write-up about Ben Danford. If you want to read it, a lot more in there than I can tell you right now. I read it. It was a good read. Has video in there as well. But I'm not just going to sit here and reread the article to you. If you want to read it, please do yourself a favor and go read it. Some good stuff you want to learn about more about the Leafs prospects. So, yeah, that's all I kind of wanted to get into today. Just talk a little bit about this stuff. Last thing before I go is just want to talk about some NL. Actually, excuse me. One more thing. Will Skelch. How could I forget about this? Will Skelch, of course, came on the show. We love him. We appreciate him. Been a friend of the show for multiple years now. Very smart guy. Loves to be very in on the draft. Ben Danford, for him, was ranked 66 overall. So he wasn't as high as other people on him. But again, I love to get multiple opinions, and I completely respect Skelch's opinion on this. So just quickly reading it here, at various points of the year, Danford has been right up near my first round. And I've seen him ranked in that range here and there. Honestly, I can see why. He's got some flashes and really impressive puck rushing ability with size and puck protection skill that should project to higher levels easily. Again, as I mentioned, translatable skills. He's got good short-range passing instincts, ability to get involved with his first pass in the defensive zone and jump into the rush from time to time. I do find that he has some issues seeing the ice when running a breakout himself and can turn pucks over at a rate that bumps him down my board. And he's a player that doesn't really jump into the offensive zone to create offense much in my work. When he does, I found his shot to be more threatening than I expected here and there. Defensively, though, he's a smart positional player, tracking rushes well, closing gaps, and getting loose pucks often to turn the play back around. He's got a physical edge and much in the same way as Will Skahan earlier. I can see a lower upside, but NHL-like defender who could chip in down the line in the future. If he captures some of his best moments more often, especially with the puck on his stick, there's potential for more. So he's not necessarily super high on him, but again, NHL defender, he thinks he can make those translatable abilities. Excuse me. And if you head over to his channel and just search Ben Danford, I believe he talked about him in Q&A back in March. So yeah, interesting thing about him. Last thing here, he's a right shot defenseman, but plays on the left side for Oshawa. So that's a little peculiar, but whatever. It's good. I'm excited to see him at rookie camp over the coming weeks. I believe rookie camp starting like 2 or 3 weeks. A lot to talk about there. Anyways, last thing I want to talk about before we get into this is I see a lot of this stuff on Twitter, the NHLE models. And honestly, I feel like this is just going to be a rant time for me because I have the airspace and I can do it. But a lot of times for me, people like to use NHLE models to kind of justify picks. First of all, the most important thing is that these models, it's kind of a farce to call them a model. It's just simply a points-based projection where you take points, take a player's points, take a game played, and you contextualize them within the league. And then you compare that to previous years of data and how those players who get that many points project into the NHL. It only takes into account points. Doesn't even take into account 5-on-5. Just points. So there's a lot of wonkiness involved here, and it's not the be-all, end-all. People like to treat it like that. We saw last year, Easton Cowan. Some people, and I'm not going to call them out, but you know who they are, had him at a 1% chance of becoming a star and 1% chance of becoming an NHL player. I'm sorry, Easton Cowan's probably going to play in the NHL, not next year, but 2 years from now. So again, to think that these, I don't want to call them models, but to think that these NHL equivalency, this data is the be-all, end-all is silly. Of course, use it to inform your opinion. That's great. But there's so much more context that it misses out on that I think it's kind of silly when people like to use this to justify their picks. It's fun. It's easy. It's you could snap a picture, throw it up, very lazy. But I like to look at like guys like Brock Cotton, guys like Mitchell Brown, guys like Scouch, Will Scouch, who actually watch the games, right? Obviously, it's not as easy. We can't watch the game. We can't watch everything. I haven't watched Ben Danforth. I'm not going to pretend here like I do know. But again, I'm going to use my resources and talk to people and look at what the people smarter than me have to say about him and kind of help that form my opinion on him. So don't fall for these NHL E models is all I'm trying to say. And part of the reason why I'm saying that is because Ben Danforth, 30 points in whatever, 60 games, he's low on these NHL E models. But the best part is, do you not think that the NHL organizations have access to this information? They obviously do. They have access to this information and 10 times more information. So it's not something that I think is that valuable to use. That's just my opinion. It gets a lot of clicks on Twitter. Rent might be due for some people, but yeah, that's just me. I had to go out on a limb and say that and mention that because it just bothers me when I see people referencing it. And also, again, it's not a model. It's just points. It's just using points. It's like the simplest form of a model that anyone can create. So, yeah, maybe I'll make my own NHL E model. Why not? I'm sure it can be that hard to do. Anyways, that's it for me here. If you like the content, please press the like on the YouTube video. If you like it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere where you're listening to it, drop us a review and say we love this shit. Appreciate you for listening. So, yeah, like this, subscribe. Going to be hitting you with two videos tomorrow. Going to be talking about forwards, defensemen, and goalies. Comment below if you have anyone you want me to mention, talk about, see who the Leafs get. Curious if Tanev will sign today. Will help me in making my video tomorrow. If he doesn't, oh well. Still going to get that video. And then July 1st, I'm going to try the night of or the morning of to get out another video here, talking about some free agency signings and just kind of recap that. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, if you love the Leafs, hit that subscribe button. We're going to be talking all this stuff all throughout the offseason. And yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys in the next one. Go Leafs.